Good afternoon. You're listening to A Progressive Life, and today, in about 4 or 5 minutes, I will be talking to a person that I've known, and I've even changed his diaper. My own son. Now, he's in his 40s, so he probably won't appreciate it if I stay on that too much. But he, my son, his name is Christopher John Coble, and it's Christopher spelled with a K and John without an H. Mom and Dad were kind of strange back in those days. It was kind of you wanted to name your child something that was out of the ordinary, and so that's why we named him that. My daughter Amy, my wife wanted to, I think, name her Amy, A-M-E-E. We didn't do that. We didn't put that on her, Amy Elizabeth. And my youngest son, since I've already told you about my two older children, my youngest son is Andrew Glenn. I'm sorry I did that to you, Andrew. I don't know if Andrew's listening on the stream today, but occasionally he does. Anyway, that's my family. And we're going to talk to my eldest about his brand new book that just came out. Yes, it's very self-serving. I understand that. But he's a good person. I wanted to have him on to try and tell you how some people are finding ways to get published, even though he didn't go to, you know, major publishing house. He's self-published, and he's already sold some books online, and he's actually put his second book online, and you can buy it through Amazon, and you can buy it through, we'll talk about that. We'll tell you about it. And he's going to be calling in here in a couple minutes, and we'll talk about it. You're won't be able to call in, but if you want to text me, let me get my phone out so that I can see if somebody texts me. If you want to text me, my personal cell phone number is 740-381. I've just got too many phone numbers. Scott and I just had a great 2 hours talking about Family Feud and a lot of questions. Let's see if this is my boy calling right now. Hang on. Hello, you're on the air. Is this Christopher?
This is. How are you?
Very good. We're on the air and talking. I already kind of introduced you. As Christopher John Coble. A lot of people don't know that's your full name. And you go by KJ. We all call you KJ.
Well, and that's your fault, Dad.
I'm sorry.
Should I call you Dad on your show?
You can call me Dad, or you can call me... Don't call me Mr. Coble, all right? Yeah, call me Dad. One of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you on the air... I know that, and I have my phone ready in case somebody texts us a question. But okay. One of the questions, the initial question I have is, how difficult was it to self-publish? Now, I understand this is a self-published book, and the name of the book, what is the name of the book?
Magic Fire Metal Storm.
Okay. And I've got a picture of it sitting right in front of me. Great cover. Did you design the cover?
Thank you for saying so. I sort of did. The part of the picture in there is actually a historical painting in the public domain by a guy named Howard Pyle. It's an excerpt from the Battle of Nashville, which is some Civil War nerdery. So I pirated it because it's the public domain and you can use it, and kind of intermixed it with a bunch of free stock imagery that's license-free, so you can use it without violating any copyrights. And so I mixed it together in a digital design thing, and
well,
you have it.
What are those evil-looking critters attacking the Civil War guys?
Those are zombies, dude.
Oh!
of a scene in the novel, mostly because it's kind of a if Lord of the Rings took place in a world that had Civil War level technology. That's kind of the whole theme of the whole thing. That's kind of the subgenre, and so I was kind of trying to capture something that would get all of those elements into it. So, you know, lightning crashing in the background, you know, zombies attacking guys in vaguely Civil War attire, that sort of thing.
Is this supposed to have taken place at the time of the Civil War? I've just started reading it, so.
Yeah, the so in like in a lot of fantasy novels, you have what's called a secondary world. So if you're fans of the Lord of the Rings, you know that takes place in Middle Earth, which is kind of this quasi medieval setting. So I basically said, forget medieval. We'll set it in a secondary world that's totally made up, but has the level of technology of the American Civil War.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it's actually this is serious nerdery, of course, but it's actually a subgenre in the whole fantasy, you know, genre, which is called a bunch of different kind of different sub names, but it's often referred to as black powder fantasy, or I've even heard of it called flintlock fantasy before. So it's a little bit of a niche, but my love of history and some of my background positioned me well to tell that kind of a weird tale.
I notice underneath the title, Magic, Fire, and Metal Storm, it says, when sorcery can't conjure freedom, the rifle will have to do. Oh, that's kind of dramatic.
Well, that's a tagline, and its purpose is to grab interest and sell. It also, like I said, kind of captures the vibe, which is, you know, fight for freedom against a bunch of sorceress, you know, tyrant type things. That's kind of the sub-story behind it all.
Cool. Well, I know you've sold one already.
Oh, great.
Mom and Dad have one.
Well,
and I'm hoping that you sold several more because I put it on my Facebook and it got carried around by several people.
Terrific. Yeah, it has sold a little already. It's actually one of the things that a lot of people who self-publish face as an obstacle is the fact that you're basically up against what I read somewhere on the internet as a tsunami of crap.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like the old problem of all retail, which is your struggle is to get noticed.
It's, yeah.
People not liking your work is far less of a problem than nobody knowing it's there at all.
Yeah, I can see
and
that.
And so it's always good to get the word out.
Well, as you know, I've written my own memoir, and I have not self-published because I didn't want to add to that tsunami.
I'm sure it was not crap.
Oh, well, it wasn't very good. anyway, okay, so what did you do? How did you... Well, let's first of all tell the audience, where can they get your book? How do they get your book?
So it can be found on most of the big... outlets that you can imagine. So it's on Amazon.
Yeah, that's where found it.
It's out on Barnes & Noble. It's at pretty much any place where you can find e-books. So it is in e-book format right now. I have not taken it upon myself to turn it into a paperback yet. There's a bit more overhead that goes into that. Audiobook will probably wait for a little while because that's some serious overhead. But they can find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, pretty much any major bookseller. And it can be read if you don't have a Kindle or a Nook e-reader. You can download the app that allows you to read an e-book on your tablet or even your phone. I've tried reading on a phone before. I don't personally recommend it, but apparently the kids like that. So.
Yeah.
So pretty much anywhere you can buy books.
That's how your mother and I are reading it, on her phone.
Yeah.
She downloaded the app, and now I must tell you that I appreciate you telling her that because it took her most of the afternoon to figure out how to get that downloaded, so I didn't have to do anything for her. I spent the day on the couch.
You know, it's impressive that somebody who lives as much on blogs and stuff as Mom couldn't find that.
She does live on blogs, doesn't she?
She's kind of crazy.
Anyway, so now... when I was passing the word around, I said, if you just type in K period J period Coble, it'll take you to a place where you can find it. And as a matter of fact, it took me to a place. I'm reading, gives you a preview, and that's what I'm reading right now. I think it's about two chapters worth of preview.
Yeah, a lot of them do that.
And that's where I am. And your mother, she had gotten to the end of the two chapters, and she said she had to get the book, so that's why we got
it. Great,
that.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. You're getting rich off of your old man and old lady.
Well, that was always the scheme, just not this way.
All right. Well, now, have you, you told me that you were going to publish a second book. Has it come out yet?
It's out there already. Actually, it's funny because this whole thing started, you and I were talking, and I had just published the second book, which is also already out on Amazon and should mostly be out. It's out on Barnes & Noble and should be out in some other places. And that one's a little bit more accessible, I think. It's not quite so niche. It's basically... it's my kind of Star Wars, so it's a science fiction novel, and it's kind of Star Wars except no hokey Jedi stuff, which is not to say I don't like that stuff. I do, but it's more gritty. It's kind of, my wife asked me how I would describe my Star Wars, and I laughingly said, "It's if Star Wars was an '80s action flick with a lot more violence and some stronger language."
Well, violence seems to sell right now. I don't.
Well, it's not over the top, but
yes, your mother will get angry. We won't tell her about that.
Oh dear!
You know she wouldn't let you have guns when you were a kid.
Well, obviously that didn't work out.
No, it didn't. Anyway. And you kind of learned about this time period in the United States history. You are a reenactor. Do you still do that?
I don't do that anymore. Okay. It's been a while. But yes, I did that for 7-8 years when I was in my late 20s, early 30s, until you know, kids.
And, yeah.
Job, kids, those sorts of things.
Yeah, paybacks,
you and I
murder.
I could spend like a whole radio show talking about that crazy.
Yeah,
but.
Well, we could, and that might not be a bad idea someday. Do you still have the uniforms and stuff?
Yeah, all stuffed away and,
well,
and kept.
You can call you can call my swap shop tomorrow and sell them.
They're actually quite ornate or quite expensive.
I'm sure.
Very very craftfully made by a. Old friend of mine. But yeah, so that whole experience kind of informed some of it too. Although, I mean, it's not like anybody's ever shot a bullet at me or anything crazy like that. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But it did kind of inform. You know, you kind of get an idea for what it's like to be stuck around a bunch of people for a long time with. Out bathing properly, and how hard that living in that period of life was.
Eating hardtack?
We did that.
Yeah,
intro.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, but you got an idea for how tough those guys were, because life was really tough and filthy, and, yeah. And of course, you know, the physical experience of how, you know, armies of old times used to have to make large bodies of men move and stuff.
And they didn't have a lot of toilet paper.
We didn't have any.
Well, they don't anymore either.
My wife found a case of it.
Okay. Well, don't
tell anybody. Three people to get it. No.
All right. Well, what's the name of the second book? I didn't get that.
Oh, yeah. So the second book is called Hell's Jesters, which is kind of a riff on Hell's Angels. But.
Uh-huh.
And the Jesters are a group of outlaws who, despite themselves, kind of become starfighter flying freedom fighters, kind of a partisan band fighting against a woefully corrupt and compromised government who's pretty much let the whole galaxy go to crap, and, you know, corrupt mega corporations are robbing everybody blind, and, you know. Yeah, you know, good stuff.
Yes. So, as you and I both know, you are very active or very interested in politics. It sounds to me like you're dragging some of your politics into your writing.
Actually, in that case, Maybe, maybe not. Again, there's so much of my writing's informed by history. Uh-huh. And the Hell's Jesters series actually takes more of its cues from the 19-teens, and it kind of came out of, I was trying to figure out how I'd build a setting for this novel, right? And so I delved into history, and I read about an incident way back when that actually took place. I was reminded of it when Christine and I were out in Colorado. It's called the Ludlow Massacre, which I kind of pay an homage to in the book kind of heavy-handedly. But and it was this whole situation where the coal fields in Colorado and out west, you know, they weren't very well. The federal government's presence out there was weak in that time, and the state governments were wielding a lot more power, and the magnates, the Rockefellers and the, you know, the those guys were pretty much the law.
Yeah.
They could pretty much purchase state governments at will, and it's kind of a shocking thing, I think, to think that in American history we were as lawless as we sometimes were at periods in our history. But so the Ludlow Massacre was this incident where basically the coal miners all went on strike en masse, and the strike dragged on for a while. And I'm grossly simplifying it here.
That's fine.
And basically they, the state government, and kind of bribed by Rockefeller's organization, they brought the militia in and shot up a bunch of people and set fire to things and drove them out. And I was reading about this, and it was kind of this beginning, this culminating event in labor history, where the working class kind of was standing up and really becoming vocal and aggressive against the over, kind of the huge trusts.
Yeah, and this was pre-union, though, I assume.
This was the beginning of a lot of that.
Okay.
And actually, I mean, these guys weren't saints, because after this whole thing happened, they went on a rampage. I mean, it was kind of a mess, but it was kind of a formative event for a lot of the labor movement's mobilizing their resources. So, yeah, it predates unions as we think of them now.
I just got a text from somebody that's asking, her son likes to write, and what would you suggest for him? And apparently her son is about 12 years old. So it's kind of interesting that she wrote that. Maybe you can give him some suggestions on what to do. You started pretty early, if I recall correctly, maybe even younger than 12.
Oh, yeah. I was born too weird for this world, man.
you were always weird, Christopher.
I would say to the young guy that I would just write. If that's what you are, you won't be able to make it stop. I'm 46, and
yeah.
I'm still at it. And if you keep writing and you keep, one of the things, and this is kind of what I've learned in this journey, is when you write stuff, you got to be fearless about it and just go, who cares? And you got to put it out there and, you know, be strong enough as a person to know that maybe this is the best I can do now, but someday the best I will do will be, kind of a big deal, or just make you happy. But at that age, I would just say keep writing and keep enjoying yourself and keep learning all the time. Read lots, because if you're going to write, you got to know what you're, you got to be reading.
Know how words work. Yeah.
Yeah, know how words work, and and just enjoy yourself, because if you're not enjoying yourself, you won't be able to get through, nobody paying attention and nobody liking, or, the world.
Yeah.
Criticism. So.
Well, if I recall correctly, you also wrote graphic novels.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of comic books, if I recall correctly.
Well, that was kind of my, I think that was kind of my training ground for a lot of this. I mean, before I knew how to write, what I was seeing in my head, I drew it. I am not the most talented artist ever.
Well, I'm not going to say anything.
obviously, I did not pursue an art career.
but I'll tell you what, your mother and I both still smile at stuff that you drew.
Oh, I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
And we've
one of my sons found some of that old stuff, and he enjoyed it, but then he's like, Dad, these guys all look the same. I'm like, yeah, I didn't know how to draw, son.
Do any of your three children like to write like this?
Yeah, although, I mean, they're early on. My sons are 11, and Gabe, one of the twins, seems to have that knack, too. But, you know, I don't like to pigeonhole them right now.
Yeah, sure. But I know they love looking at your toys when they come to our house.
Yeah, old toys, yeah. But, yeah, so they've all got a little bit of artistic flair. My daughter is going into a digital design program next year.
Fantastic.
As a high schooler, and so maybe she can help me out with some of the covers and stuff.
Well, your cover looks very professional to me, and I was very impressed when I opened it up. Now, I got another text here, and they're asking me to mention how to get these books, and unfortunately, we've only told them once, and I'm not quite sure I told them right. So tell them, how can they get these two books?
Oh, certainly. So the way you would get them, actually one of the easiest ways is to go out onto Amazon and just in the title type the, or in the search line type the title, or go out to Barnes & Noble or, you know, your vendor, online vendor of choice, and type the title in, and it should come up, both of them, depending on the title. So, it's funny because you might get a little chaff in there because Amazon's search engine will bring up anything that kind of resembles it. It was funny. Apparently, there is a heavy metal band that has a very similar name to Magic Fire Metal Storm. I haven't listened to them yet, but maybe they'll get
sure
a couple
you will. Yes.
Ancillary sales. They seemed a little goth for me. I don't know.
Now, if they type in your name, KJ Coble, would that bring it up too?
That seems to be, and I don't know how the search engine, and I maybe need to refine things a little bit, and I've only just put a lot of the stuff out here recently. I'm actually still learning as I go. I'm a somewhat informed amateur yet, but if you type the author name in, it sometimes comes up, but it's funny, you'll find this ironic. When I typed it into Amazon, a bunch of Bibles came up.
Like, yes, I do find that very ironic. we'll talk about that later, too.
But I was kind of perplexed. I'm like, oh, that's odd. I have no idea why. But so I would type the titles in. So if your listeners go to your Twitter feed or your webpage or whatever and just type in that exact title, it should come up.
Okay, very good. And the other title was?
Hell's Jesters.
Hell's Jesters, like Hell's Angels, only they're jesters.
Yeah, yeah.
The guys with the funny hats and the
jokes.
Yeah,
the Motley. Yeah. I don't know how I came up with that name, but it stuck, and so I'm like, yeah, that sounds good.
Do you have more books in the offing?
I do. I actually have 12 books planned, well, 10 more, not counting the two that are out there. I have 10 more planned across the next 2 years.
Okay.
I had a pretty reasonable backlog.
Yeah. So, I remember your first book, and you were still in college, I believe.
Yeah. So some of them I'm finding, I'm like, I don't want to work hard enough to even try to fix that. The sequel to Hell's Jesters will be out in May.
Okay.
So, and then every other month I'll be putting something else out. I have a couple series that will be coming out. All in the science fiction and fantasy oeuvre, so genre.
Yeah.
But those will all be coming out, and like I said, every other month. And so I'm pretty well ganged up for the next 2 years, so it should be a reasonable amount of production.
Well, maybe by the end of your production, we will be out of the coronavirus problem. It comes at a great time that you're publishing because it gives people something to do that they can sit in their house and read.
Yes, if you want to get over your corona quarantine and read about evil getting its butt kicked.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that your mother and I have talked about is that that genre that you're writing in,
the first one. What'd you call the genre that Magic Fire Metal Storm is in?
Black Powder Fantasy.
Okay, that fantasy model uses a lot of interesting language, and I don't mean dirty language. I mean very intellectually stimulating language. I find it a little difficult to read. Oh, I got another text. I find it difficult to read. Your mother enjoys it, but it is an acquired taste, I would say.
Yeah, that it is a little bit more, because it's kind of emulating the 19th century a bit,
uh-huh.
And it's kind of a dense kind of world building.
Good term.
The Hell's Jesters is a little bit more down to earth, kind of kick them in the face kind of language. So.
Well, the text that just came in, I think I could answer this question, but they asked, are all 12 books ready now? They are not. Is that correct?
They are not. Some of them are pretty close. I'm spacing them out. I may increase production if I see, you know, demand rising fast. I may start cranking them out a little faster. One of the reasons why I'm spacing them out in that manner is so that I don't burn myself out.
Sure.
So I can... Because I am writing a number of them as I go, and it's kind of like running, which, of course, I have quite a bit of experience in. You have to build up your endurance first, and so...
Well, I've already bragged about you on my show as being a runner for OU, so... Christopher, by the way, was a middle-distance runner and very good at the 800, and still runs, right?
I do. I was just running last night with my daughter, who's also in track.
Yeah, that's cool.
And at least one of the twins, maybe both of them, are total, like you watch them run, total freaks of nature. It's awesome. They'll be so fast.
Well, as I told you, I would only bother you for about a half an hour, but let me get you to give a little bit of your background. I know it, but my audience probably does not. Where did you come from? Where did you go to school? What did you major in? Who interested you? Why books? What you do now? That sort of thing.
Okay. Well, I mean, I was raised by somebody who's got this radio show.
Thank you. And this is a very self-serving show right now.
Is this nepotism?
Yeah, I think so. But we can do it in the government. We can do it here.
Easy there.
I'm sorry.
but I was raised in Southeast Ohio and went to OU and got my bachelor's degree was in English and creative writing, so I'm kind of right in my wheelhouse here. And while I was there, I was in the cross-country and track teams, and that's still a big part of my life. And, of course, I had a minor in history. And so all of those things have been part of who I am for quite some time. I've worked in a lot of different places. I spent 10 years in the corporate sector at actually Cardinal Health in up here in Columbus, which is where I live now. Of course, that'd be the Cardinal Health that's in so much trouble right now.
You didn't get them there, did you?
and then I have worked for the last 14 years. I've worked at Franklin University in downtown Columbus, which is a predominantly adult online school, and they do really great work. And actually, we are weathering this current crisis. We're rather well established, except being predominantly online. So,
Do you have housing on campus at all?
We do, because we own a branch campus in Urbana, Ohio.
Yeah.
And they are actually facing some of the same challenges that OSU and OU and all the big schools are facing right now.
Right.
The writing thing I've always been doing. I've been doing it since I was a kid. But more recently, so I had been querying agents for the big five publishers for years, off and on. And that's kind of a lot of what gets purchased for traditional publishing is driven by the tastes and prejudices, if you will, of the New York publishing, elite.
And
they got their thing, right? But and this is opinion here, not fact necessarily, but they have seemed over the last 10 years to drift more into stuff that is, what's the meaning of it all, man? And I've always been more like, you know what, I just want to tell stories that entertain people. I mean, let you get away from it all. And, you know, usually the good guys win in the stories I tell. I mean, they suffer along the way, but you know, yeah. Evil gets its butt kicked. The corrupts get their comeuppance, all that good stuff. So I got tired of, like, mealy-mouthed, you know, rejection letters and stuff. And actually, the really big decision was time. I turned 45 last year and kind of sat there and went, you know, if I keep having to do this and the turnaround for these guys to even say no way is like a year and a half, I'm like, shoot, I'm never going to do any of this if I don't start getting it out there. And this whole self-publishing thing has been going on since about 2012 really fast. And so I started researching it. I spent about a year figuring out how everything worked. And since January, I've been churning the stuff out.
Yeah.
And there I am.
Well, I remember when I was looking at doing my memoir, that was probably 10 years ago, not 10, but 8 years ago. It was kind of difficult. I mean, it was not clear cut on how you could self-publish.
Yeah,
and people were sleazy about it. There were people that would get you published, but you need to send in $1,000 to do it, you know?
Money always goes to the writer, not the other way around.
Yeah.
If you're paying somebody, you're getting scammed. I mean, there are elements where you have to pay for services. For example, if you get professional cover art, you got to pay an artist for that.
Sure.
But you should never be paying some company to do all this work for you. It has become exponentially easier in the last 5 years, especially to do this sort of stuff. I mean, I'm still winging it a little bit. I still have to get some social media presence up there and get a few things set up. But an individual with some tenacity and a willingness to learn how it works can start to figure all this stuff out and do it themselves without, you know, I've done most of this stuff for free other than my own time. So
good suggestions for our 12-year-old whose mom is listening right now. You just have to be careful you don't get scammed. You have to work. You have to work at your craft a little bit. You have to learn about it. You have to learn how it works and how not to. If somebody's asking you for money to publish, they're probably scamming you. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
money should flow to the author.
Yeah, I like that. All right, well, we're just about done, but why don't you tell us one more time? This is Christopher Coble, happens to be my son. This also happens to, he'll have to pay me back for all this. But
whatever.
Anyway, Christopher, or KJ, I call him KJ. KJ, tell us one last time the name of the two that are out right now and where they should go to buy it, and we'll say good day for the show.
All right, so the first novel is called Magic Fire Metal Storm, and the second novel is called Hell's Jesters, and both of those are available at the top of the list. I would say Amazon. Everybody knows Amazon, but you can find them at Barnes & Noble. You can find them at most retailers that are online, so online, any retailer that is online and publishes e-books.
Okay, excellent. Well, you and I will be talking. I know you're going to be checking in to make sure Mom and Dad haven't got the coronavirus, but I hope you guys stay healthy too down there. And it hits. You're not too young to get it.
And not too pretty to get it.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. I hope some people will look this stuff up, and I hope they will. It's not very expensive. I think, what, $3.95 or $5.95, depending on where you go? Does that sound right?
It should be $3.99 at any American retailer.
There you go.
More than that, you're probably looking at a European site or something.
Okay, excellent. Well, Christopher John, one of my two favorite sons and one of my three favorite children, have a great day, and thanks a lot for calling. We'll talk to you, I know, later, all right?
All right, thanks, Dad. I hope you and your readers have a good, or listeners have a good day.
Well, I hope they're reading, too. All right. Have a good day. Bye-bye, hon.
Bye.
All right.
I hope he didn't mind me calling him Hun over the air. I call all my children Hun. It's just something. I guess my mother called me Hun, so that's what I call my kids. I hope that was informative. And to the person that texted me about her son, I really encourage it. It really gave, the neat thing about it is gave Christopher, when he was at home, and I guess in his early teens, He was unusual. He was just very intellectual. He is a very bright person, and he had a hard time, even though he was a terrific soccer player. And as you could tell, he was recruited to run at OU, so he was a terrific track runner, and ended up being a pretty good cross country runner. I'll tell you that story after I tell you this. But it gave him an outlet for all his brain kind of itched him. He was so smart. He wanted to do something, but he didn't know what. And when he started drawing these graphic novels, these comic books, that led him into writing stories. Now, quite frankly, the very first story he wrote it at a very young age. I started to read it, and it was way too intellectual for me. And quite frankly, Magic Fire Metal Storm is a little bit above me mentally. But I think people that like that genre know how to read that stuff. I just have never been able to. And I also have a little dyslexia, so I read very slowly. So it makes it difficult. I was going to tell you about that. What was I going to tell you about Christopher and running? I guess I forgot it. Well, that's what happens as you get older. It's 12:48. You're listening to A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble. I just had my son on, Christopher Coble, who has two books out. The first one is Magic Fire Metal Storm, and the second one is, oh, how quickly we forget, something Jester. yeah, it's about the motorcycle. Anyway, if you were listening, you remember what it is. Got a terrible snoot full of dust or something, so I'm getting very clogged up, so I'm sorry if I sound funny. But anyway, I'm here, and we're going to be here tomorrow. We're going to be doing our show where we take in, if you have something to sell, Swap Shop, you can call us up, and you can tell us what you have to sell. But a person texted us while we were on the air earlier and said, well, why don't you make an offering to for young people who are going to be home to come and help older people get things done. I think that's not a bad idea. Not that you want to get, if an older person calls you and asks you, let's say, to shovel their walk, let's say if it snows, you don't want to get right in their face and talk to them. You want to stand back so that they don't feel uncomfortable about getting something from you. But stand back and you can call them up first and make the agreement on how much, and you can go shovel their walk and then run up to the door and ask them for the money and try not to breathe on each other. And that might be a good outlet for young people. I was going to say mow grass, but that's going to be a little tough. You're welcome. I just got a thank you from Christopher. Kind of interesting to have these phones anymore. I can take texts. I can take messages. And he just thanks, Dad. That was fun. He enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you go out. If nothing else, go out and look at the cover. It's quite wild. And it's done very well. And I'm not sure what the the other book looks like. I'm going to have to go look at that when I get home. Well, it's 12:51. You're listening to Glenn Coble, and we're on a progressive life. Well, I hope that you're all doing well. I know it's getting really tiring to hear about the coronavirus, but it's a fact, and it's something that's hitting us all. We're all going to have to put up with it. My wife is one of those people that she's very, very cautious. She will not go out, period. She doesn't want me to go out. She didn't want me to come to the radio station, but I felt it was my duty to at least try to help us give you something to listen to and give you some news as we get it maybe fill in some holes for you while you're sitting around you're locking yourself, quarantining. And if you're doing that, if you're my age, if you're in your 60s and 70s or 80s or 90s, you need to be very careful about getting out and about. I sprayed everything down when I came in here with you're welcome again. He texted me again. I sprayed everything down with some disinfectant. When I leave here, I'm going to spray it down again and get in my car. And I am going to go to the grocery store because, there are a couple things you have to have. You have to have food. And if you're an older person, you have to have your medicines. And so I get my medicine at my grocery store, so that's going to work out just fine. I'm going to pick up a few things. But I'm going to try to stay away. If you see me in the grocery store here in about 20 minutes, and I stay pretty far away from you, don't take offense. I'm just trying to avoid passing anything or receiving anything. They tell me that those masks, the cheap masks that you're able to buy, don't really help protect you very much. I can't imagine they hurt you, but they don't protect you very much. We have a bunch of them. I was going to take them over to the hospital, but I was told they really aren't the type that the hospitals use. And I've opened the package, so how would they know that I didn't breathe on them? Don't be offended if you see me. I wave at you and stay away from you. I'm not frightened. I'm just cautious. How's that sound? All right. We had a great morning. Scott and I did. We covered it for Charlie. Charlie's got kind of banged up, and he's recovering from that. We wish you well, Charlie. I hope if you're listening right now, Charlie and I have known each other a little longer than we knew that we knew each other. I've probably known him for 10 years, and I doubt that he remembers when we first met. But in the last year and a half or 2 years since I've known him at the radio station here, we've become good friends, and I really hope you take care of yourself, my good friend. We try not to step on each other's toes, but occasionally we do, much like Scott and I. What you heard today, if you were listening earlier, is kind of the way Scott and I talk while Charlie's on the air. I come in to kind of engineer Charlie's show, and while I'm here, if Scott's here, we get into some pretty heated arguments and discussions outside. Very enjoyable type. That's what we need in this world right now. We need people to be able to disagree with each other and enjoy each other at the same time. I totally enjoy being around Scott and his silliness with the young ladies that he talked to today. Abby and Bailey was one of them, and Michelle. They're all wonderful people, and I really enjoy listening to him. I wish I were young enough to be able to banter with them. I am not, and people would think it was weird if I tried. So I don't try. Okay, it's 12:55, 12:56. We'll be out of here in 4 minutes. If you have anything you'd like to call about, 740-383-9944. And got a couple minutes. I could take a call if you want to. We earlier talked with Christopher John Coble, KJ Coble, about his new book that just came out, Magic Fire, A Metal Storm. And he is my son, and so therefore I was allowed to put him on my show. And he has made a tome. I think that was the word that was used this morning in our family feud thing. Well, tome is the name of a book. And anyway, that was one I didn't think anybody would call and answer, but good answer. Good answer. We have some really, really smart people that listen to WWGH all day long. I know we have some guys out there at Marionado that listen to us, and I'm going to say hi. Hi, guys. And I know some of you disagree with me. That's fine. That's what we're here for. If we all agreed on everything, it would be a very boring world, and we do not. But we've learned to, most of us have learned to get along with each other, even though we disagree. We agree to disagree is the old term. And let's see, 12:58, we're closing in on the end. I guess nobody's going to call. That's fine. We have tomorrow, Swap Shop. We will do Swap Shop. I do have a lot of questions, you know, trivia stuff about spring that we didn't get finished last week. We are also going to open the phone lines up for young people who want to help older people or older people who want to help older people. Call us up with a phone number where somebody could, if they need something done. Let's say you're kind of shut in and you can't get out and about. Call us up and say, I need somebody to do this for me. Call me at this number. Now, please, please be very careful with each other. Make sure there's some responsibility shared between the two. But that's kind of what we're going to do tomorrow. Open that up for that. Also, if you have a you know, some sort of ability to deliver food or to deliver pharmacy things. Now, that's going to get a little difficult. I don't know how you can do that, whether you can pick stuff up for other people if you are not that person. But we'll work our way through all this stuff. There, we have a lot of things that we need to do. And we need to, first of all, we need to figure out what we need, and then we need to figure out answers of how we can take care of the problem. Excuse me as I cough right onto my microphone, which I just cleaned off. We got 1 minute. We'll get the heck out of here. And I'm going to go sneak off and go to the grocery store and do a bunch of little shopping. I don't need toilet paper. I don't get that at all. Why so many people bought so much toilet paper? As I told Scott, I asked Scott earlier if he had gone camping and had to use leaves. Not many people like that. I didn't like it either. Well, anyway, like I said, this is Glenn Coble. You're listening to A Progressive Life. We'll be back on next Wednesday with another Progressive Life. We'll be on tomorrow with Swap Shop. Give us a call. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio, the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Dioria, W.